Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm a local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast, 8 to 8:30, on Public Access Channel number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. We also point you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. It will give you many valuable resources to aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you your need for God in your life and you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please, give it a look. Next, we want to continue our discussion together on the subject of fruit of the Spirit. We are looking at the first fruit, and that is love. In 1 John 4:19 through 21, we read, "We love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hate his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." The Apostle John told us that we can love God because He first loved us. In Romans chapter 5, 6 through 8, we know that He died for us while we were yet sinners. But how can we affirm our love for God and at the same time have hate for our brethren? As far as God is concerned, this is impossible and irreconcilable situation. How can we hate one whom we have seen and love him whom we have not seen? It is a paradox. God tells us we must love our brethren, and if we don't, then God does not believe that we love Him. Let me read you two other verses in the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. 1 John 2, 9 through 11. He who says he is in light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. 1 John 3, verse 15 goes on to say, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We must love our brother. If we do not love brother, then God does not believe that we love Him. To love others begotten by God. Love motivates us to love all people that God loves. Whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of God. This is comparable to a family unit. A child is to love his parents because they are his parents, because of what their unconditional love provides him. But a child is also to love his siblings, other begotten by his parents. God is our Father who loves us. As his children, we must love him and the other members of his family, our brethren. Our love for God motivates our love for our brethren. To love others begotten by God is to feel real joy. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who love your name be joyful in you. If we love our parents, we enjoy being around them. If we love our children, we enjoy being around them. If we love our spouses, we enjoy being with them. If we love the Lord, we enjoy worshiping Him, as we can read in Psalms 122, verse 1. And being part of God's family should produce joy in our hearts and wanting to be around God's people. That produces joy in my heart, and it should be motivated by love. And love motivates us to hate sin. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of His saints. He delivers them out of the hands of the wicked. Psalm 97, verse 10. Our love for God should cause us to hate sin. It is impossible to love both good and evil. Read Matthew 6, 24. Or it is wrong to call good evil and evil good. Read Isaiah 5, verse 20. We should hate sin because it caused the death of Jesus on the cross, read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. All who engage in sin are destined to die spiritually, according to Paul's words in Romans 6, 23. If God hates sin, then his children who love him must abhor sin also. Love motivates us to truly and fully obey him. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. Love should motivate us to obey God to the best of our ability. In John 14, 15, we're told if we love him, we keep his commandment. In 1 John 3, in verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Why should we obey God? He displayed his love by sending his Son. And he continues to show his love by helping us each step of the way. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Please read Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. To fully obey God is to understand that love that we have for him, we want to obey him. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5, verse 3. We demonstrate love for God by obeying his commandments. God has given mankind no commandments that are not in his best interest to keep them. God's commandments are not burdensome because they bring us to life, but they can only do that if we follow them. Love also motivates us to fulfill our family roles and responsibilities. We demonstrate love for God by fulfilling the duties associated with our personal relationships, in our marriages, and with our children. In Colossians 3, 18 through 21, excuse me, in Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, we have responsibilities to our mates and to our children. How can we claim to love God if we reject our duties given by him for our homes and our personal relationship? Just as an example, we're to bring our children up in nurturing and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 4. If I truly love God, I'm going to bring my children up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. The Bible says I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If I truly love God and I'm motivated to love God, then I will love my wife as Christ has stipulated in his word. Love motivates me even to love those who hate us. We are to love our enemies and to bless those who curse us, to do good to those who hate you, and to pray for our persecutors. God calls upon us to do something that seems very difficult to accomplish. That is to love those who hate us and to show kindness to them and help them in any way that we can. We're told that we must love our enemies in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. But I want to read you a passage in Romans chapter 12 that tells us how we overcome evil and we do it with good. Love motivates us to overcome evil with good. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, having regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We must remember that Christ died for us while we were enemies and in sin. We must pray for our enemies and seek to help them if we have opportunity. We do this because we love their soul and desire for them to have salvation in Christ. If they accept Christ, they will no longer be our enemies. We must let love dominate. In Matthew 22:35-40, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like to it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22:35-40. Love must dominate the heart, the soul, and the mind of the Christian. Otherwise, we're just plain Christianity and church. Today is the Lord's Day. Let us busy ourselves doing his work. Love for God means total allegiance to him and his cause. Anything less is unacceptable to him and unprofitable for us. Proper love for God and our fellow man will help us in all other aspects of our life to fall in the proper place. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you love God? If you say that you love God, but not enough to obey him today, then you're saying that you hate God, that you love another, the world, yourself, or Satan more than you love him. What could be worth destroying your soul and living an empty life here today? You must make a choice, dear listener, whether you're going to love God or you're going to serve self. Read Matthew 6, verse 24. If you love me, you keep my commandments, John 14, 15. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him, John 14, 21. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear are not mine, but the Father who sent me, John 14, 24. A life that is not obedient is a life without love. These passages emphasize the need to obey our Father. How can we truly believe that we love God if we fail to heed his instruction? Look at these passages very closely, ladies and gentlemen, and see that love and obedience go hand in hand. The accursed are those who live a life without love. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, O Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, Ephesians 6:24. We demonstrate love for God when we obey his commands. Those who fail to love God are accursed. Obedience that is sincere, not just lip service, is genuine, and we will find divine favor with God. No other life will be acceptable to him. What others may love more than God. Others may love the world more than they love God, 1 John 2:15. They may love their riches, Matthew 16:24. They may love their families, Matthew 10:37. They may love the praise and the honor of men more, John 12, verse 43. And they even might love life more than they love God, Luke 14:26. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Can you think of a good answer to the Lord's question? In Matthew 16:26, what would you give in exchange for your soul, dear listener? What do you love more than your soul? If you truly love your soul, seek to gain wisdom. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. Proverbs 19, verse 8. Seeking God's wisdom shows a true and abiding love for his own soul and a commitment and love for God. Are your priorities in the proper order? And so in conclusion, in the first characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit of love, do you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul? In other words, with all of your being. Do you put him first? Do you seek the things of God first? Do you love your brethren? Do you love those who even may be considered your enemies? Does love motivate your life to do the things that would be pleasing and acceptable in God's sight? Can people see by my actions in my life that I love God more than I love myself? What about it, dear listener? Do you have this characteristic of love? Let us help you, if you do not, to show you how you can possess it and how it will make your life better and make your life pleasing to God. Thank you for listening today. We hope that you tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue looking